from the Ground Ops Training Center in Dallas. You're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello, and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heaser. Now, many show topics come from someone, usually me, asking a question and no one knows the answer. So my question that is the nexus of this show will be the asked later and with much anticipation. I can't wait to find out. But the general topic is de-icing aircraft. Now, because podcasts can live forever on the internet, one of my pet peeves is when podcasters talk about the weather that day. So all I'll say about that is the general season statement that it is currently winter. My guest today is Jay, who is a ground ops training team leader, and one of the things he teaches is about de-icing airplanes. Jay, welcome to Red Belly Radio.
Thanks, Steve.
So tell us, who makes the decision to de-ice the aircraft? Is it the ground crew, the flight crew?
Well, it's definitely a team effort. And it's in conjunction with the pilots and the rampers. So anyone that sees contamination on the aircraft, they're able to begin the program. So it's a very heavily communicated process.
Why don't you just walk us through the process? Once it's decided to de-ice an aircraft, what happens then?
Well, they'll identify what type of contamination's on the plane, where it exists, and there'll be communication between the flight crew and the ground crew about what type of procedure we're going to do. Is it strictly just removal of ice or frost that's already on the aircraft? We're not experiencing any snow at the time. So if there's no active precipitation, they can just do a simple one-step procedure, just de-ice the aircraft. Or it might be heavy snow, moderate snow, where they have to de-ice and apply an anti-icing fluid as well.
I guess that varies considerably. If you've ever cleaned off your car windshield, snow is relatively easy to get off compared to that of ice.
And that's exactly the same with the de-icing fluid. Based on the different types of contaminants that are on the aircraft.
I like how you call it contaminants.
Yeah, that's one of those weird words, right? Because it covers a lot of things. We might be talking... the plane might be below zero. The actual aircraft surface temperature could be below zero. So if it's raining out and you get rain to hit the frozen airplane, that'll turn to a clear ice. That's of all of the different contaminants that we have to deal with, that's the one that involves a lot of fluid and is difficult to detect. But then, you know, there's the obvious snow, frost, there's... You know, you name it, there's something out there we might have to address.
Well, you mentioned the fluid. What is this fluid?
Well, we have two primary types of fluid that we use. One is called type 1. It's a de-icing fluid. It's a propylene glycol, which is a very common substance. You might even look on the back of your salad dressing, and you might see propylene glycol listed there.
Also known as antifreeze? Well, or that's glycol?
Well, it's an environmentally friendly form of antifreeze. Years ago, and actually it's still available, ethylene glycol. Some military will use it, and some airlines will use it in really cold weather, maybe in Alaska, but it's more toxic. That might be what you would find in your car. What we spray on our planes, propylene glycol, much more environmentally friendly, safer for the operators. So that's what's out there, type 1. And then we have a type 4. Another type of propylene glycol.
You pass 2 and 3 and go straight to 4.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, 2 and 3, we don't use them in North America. It's just 1.
They exist, we just don't use them.
You got it. Southwest Airlines doesn't use them. But we skip over to type 4, and that's strictly for anti-icing. So the type 1 takes the ice off the plane. It's heated, high pressure, and it'll knock ice and snow off the plane. And then we can follow that up with type 4, and that actually keeps any more snow from adhering to the surface of the aircraft.
And so in this equipment, it's – well, who runs this equipment? Is it Southwest employees or the airport that runs it?
The vast majority of our de-icing operations are done with Southwest employees.
With our equipment?
With our equipment. Our employees do it. There are a handful of cities that we have primary contractors that do it. But for the most part, it's Southwest employees.
And so once this
propylene glycol
is sprayed, so it just falls off the aircraft onto the tarmac. Is it environmentally safe?
Well, we train our employees to use as little fluid as possible. So our primary goal, clean aircraft surface. Aircraft has to be clean. So naturally, there's going to be some runoff. But we train them to reduce the amount of runoff that there is. Now, depending on what airport you're in, if it's one that historically uses a lot of glycol, there are very elaborate recycling programs and reclamation programs in place to recover that glycol, and they can actually reuse it. Cleveland's a great example of that. They have a very high-tech, extensive recycling program for their glycol there.
So it's better than, say, San Antonio's?
Yeah, those cities that don't see a whole lot of it, it's basically it's just going to run off into the storm drains.
Well, that's a good question. Do cities like San Diego or Fort Lauderdale even have de-icing equipment?
Well, we do have a handful of cities, mostly in Florida and California, that do not have any glycol on hand in the station. Basically, there's either going to be really strict environmental laws for that particular airport or location that hinder us from keeping glycol there and using it.
I would imagine these chemicals have a shelf life too, and you can't have them sitting around for 9 years and then you pull them out and they don't work properly.
Absolutely, and we use the fluids that we order, so when we're using them, we're going through it, keeping it fresh. But we go through an extensive testing program every time the fluids are used, making sure that they're safe and viable and ready to be applied.
Again, not too unlike the radiator test where they look at the stuff like...
Yeah, we have this really it's really interesting instrument that the ground guys use. It's called a refractometer. And it's just a handheld instrument. They put a drop of the fluid in it. They can look through the scope, and it'll tell them at what temperature that fluid will actually freeze. So it's pretty neat.
Well, how long does it take to de-ice one of our aircraft?
Again, that's really...
Depends how bad the ice is.
That's exactly it. In the morning operations, frost is very common. It might only take you, 3 to 5 minutes just to lightly spray the plane to remove the frost. And, the worst case scenario, you've got heavy ice stuck to the aircraft. You could use hundreds and hundreds of gallons of fluid, and it might take you 20, 30 minutes to get it off, if not longer.
Now this product is heated, and it's sprayed through a pressure fire hose is probably not the right word, but really.
It looks just like a fire hose. If you've ever seen the telephone companies have their little cherry picker trucks, looks just like that, except in the boom. There's a series of hoses that run to the fluid storage tanks, run up to the operator, and they have a nozzle sprayer that can adjust the flow rate on the nozzle. They can either make it a very direct stream or fan it out. So based on what the contamination is on the plane, they can adjust the spray and how close they are to the aircraft to knock it off.
And they spray the wings to get the flaps. And then the tail to get the rudder? Did I say that right?
Yeah. Well, we spray any, and we like to refer to them as critical aircraft surfaces, and there's a lot of them.
I was going to use that term. But
I'm sure. But there's a lot, and the wings and tail, those are parts of that. Control surfaces, those fall into those categories as well. But we want to make sure that our bottom line, the goal of our whole operation is make sure the entire aircraft is clean and safe for dispatch.
Okay. Now the question I, if only, have been waiting for, and I realize this answer probably changes from year to year depending on weather, but what city uses the most de-icing fluid?
Well, as of last year, Chicago, hands down, uses more fluid. And they're just a natural winner for that every year. They've got the most flights, and they've got the winter operations to go with that. So
I would have guessed Chicago or maybe Baltimore. But they have a lot of flights, too. But it had to be one of those northern cities that has a lot of flights.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised. Buffalo is always up there. And, we've got even some of the smaller stations, just with the amount of snowfall they have. They have their use of fluid as well.
Well, if we did a per departure analysis of fluid used, it might be like a Cleveland who's gone to the steps of making that reclamation process that you spoke of.
Well, Cleveland's kind of a special case because we're not the primary operator out of there. So Continental, they have a huge operation there. So that kind of drove why they have such a great system. But we do have some smaller stations where we are really the primary player in that airport, like a Manchester, where we use a lot of fluid in Albany and areas like that.
Right. We just don't have the number of flights compared to Chicago.
Right.
Well, if you have any other questions about de-icing or any other operations here at Southwest Airlines, please email me at redbellyradio@wnco.com. Jay, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Hey, no problem. It's my pleasure.
Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2009. The captain has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.